today on Laura Lynn and Friends.
They decide to change the definition of whom is being considered as an unvaccinated. And they now decide that whomever got the first and the second shot, but not the third shot, he is being considered as a non-vaccinated. And therefore, the non-vaccinated people are filling up the hospitals around the country.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Last Days. My name's Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, and we just appreciate your being here. We're finding out every single day that there's new data that's coming forward, and it's helping to expose and prove that everything is not as it seems. And so what we'd like to do is we would like to talk about Israel just a little bit today, because the facts that are coming through there, the facts that are coming through Israel are absolutely amazing. And they are giving us some of the latest, most up-to-date results that we could have. So, okay, up-to-date results that we could have. Okay, I'm so sorry. We are having extreme difficulties today, but stay with us. So we want to discuss what is going on because some of the things coming out are showing us, actually in the rest of the world, what we need to know. What we need to know about the vaccines, what we need to know about how it is progressing. And these are very, very important issues that are coming about. I'd like to show you, could we first off go to the Prime Minister of Israel? And then we are going to hear from somebody very important. He is a rabbi in Israel, and we're going to get his take on what is happening. Take a look.
נקודה חשובה מאוד שהציבור חייב להפנים, ואני חושב שהרוב לא מבינים עדיין. הציבור הפגיע ביותר באופן פרדוקסלי כרגע, זה אלה שעשו שני חיסונים ועוד לא את השלישי. למה? כי הם מסתובבים בתחושה כאילו הם מוגנים, כי הם עשו את שני החיסונים. הם לא מבינים שהחיסון השני דעך אל מול הדלתא, וחייבים מהר להתחסן בחיסון השלישי. לכן אנחנו, כל אחד מאיתנו, גם חברי הכנסת גלעד קריב שהוא צעיר ואיתמר בן גביר שהוא צעיר, יש הרבה מאוד צעירים שהם חולים קשה עם אשפוז. זה הגיל הפגיע ביותר, כי מי שלא התחסן בכלל הוא מודע לזה כבר שנה וחצי, וכנראה הוא יושב באיזה חדר סגור או משהו.
So I didn't get to read that. That is a fast-talking prime minister, let me tell you. I was reading as fast as I could. So I would like to bring on Rabbi Daniel Asor. And Daniel Asor, an Israeli who left Israel after completing his prestigious service as a decorated officer, had received a Zionistic Jewish education. All this didn't stop him from fulfilling a dream to become a pilot. Daniel Asor succeeded, overcame the insurmountable obstacles, and returned to Judaism. Signs which he had received from above, questions which were left unanswered and unresolved, Daniel returned to Israel. He built an Orthodox Jewish home. He learns the Torah and is a public speaker for all of the Teshuvah organizations. And he is here to tell us what is the latest going on in Israel right now. And Rabbi Daniel, I just thank you very much for being here.
You're very welcome.
Good. We've had some technical difficulties today, but I think we're on track. So I guess I'm pretty sure the devil doesn't want this conversation going on, because it's you know, we've had some technical difficulties getting here, and plus I'm having trouble speaking. But All in all, we're going to get through it. We saw yesterday, actually, on this show, and I wanted to clarify if this is true or not, that they were removing a child. Wasn't that in Israel yesterday, JT? They were removing a child from a home because the parents were not vaccinated. Have you heard anything about that? And is that actually happening?
I didn't hear that about what you're describing, the phenomena that you're describing.
Yes, could I show you this clip? Yeah. Could I show you this clip? Because this clip might be able to, you might be able to understand what they're saying. Let me play it for you.
Okay. השוטר לוקח את התינוק איתו הוצאת ילדים מהבית, חטיפת ילדים על ידי משטרת ישראל ועובדת הרווחה עם את הילד עכשיו.
Okay, were you able to hear that, sir? Did we comprehend what was going on? Yeah.
First of all, well, that have nothing to do with vaccine.
Okay. It's, thank you, for confirming that. Okay.
It's a situation there is really unclear from the clip that you just provide, but I know a little more information about it. It's about social workers and about economic situation in the family, and they probably took the child because of other reason, but not vaccine. That's not
okay.
But we expect that probably in the coming time that they're going to force vaccine, because we see that the government are going toward forcing vaccine in the future, in the near future, as far as I'm concerned. That's what we see. Like I told you, and we spoke before, and I told you that we see a lot of deception here. They deceive the population, and Israel turned to be the lab of the world, the chosen people of Pfizer, unfortunately. But we don't agree with that. We don't think we understand that the government is basically committing crimes against humanity, as far as we're concerned. And we see, for example, like I told you, they didn't get any approval from the FDA, and they claim, the Minister of Health claim over the media that they have permission from the FDA. So it's a big lie. They claim that it's safe, but it's not safe. They claim that it's science, it's science, but it's not science. It's an experimental, and many different claims over the media that it's pretty much obvious to us that they're lying to the population.
That is so shocking, and we're so grieved at what we are seeing, and our prayers are with you. What has happened? Is it this prime minister that is behind all of this, or how did this happen that Israel is leading, in the giving out of the vaccinations? But also we have a shocking graph to show in a bit that things are not great.
Well, I heard the name of your program, and I would like to tell you that we agree with you that it's the end of time, and we're heading toward the redemption of the world. Maybe we have a little different perspective about it, but it doesn't really matter. We do know that the New World Order chose Israel to be the capital of the New World Order, and the nation of Israel are being chased by the Illuminati, by the Masonic Freemason. And if you read a little literature from Albert Mackey or Manly Pihol, then you know that they believe in a different God than the Bible. And they see the God of the Bible as the God of darkness, unfortunately. So we being considered worshiping the God of darkness while they're worshiping Lucifer and consider him as a God of light. So I'd say they mark the Jews before any other group of people around the world. So they're making an experiment on the Jews, like usual, and specifically on the Haredic community that worshiping God and committing to the commands of Hashem according to the Bible.
Well, that is, I guess, where these religious differences are coming in. And, you know, that's one aspect of division. On top of it, it does appear that COVID has been used to further divide us. It's happening in Canada as well. You have all kinds of churches that are setting up vaccination clinics in their basements and are supporting this narrative, even as we see that the shots are killing people. Some people are calling this the clot shot. And we're seeing that your prime minister, you know, to get some clarity on what's happening there, is that basically now we've got the double vaccinated, but they're pushing the third and potentially fourth vaccinations, I believe.
First of all, we already got the third vaccine.
We've already
shot.
Got the third. Wow.
Exactly. And the people, you know, the hospitals around Israel are filled up with vaccinated people. Now, they decide, in order to declare over the media that the unvaccinated filling up and being sick and filling up the hospitals, they decide to change the definition of whom is being considered as a non-vaccinated. And they now decide that whomever got the first and the second shot, but not the third shot, he is being considered as a non-vaccinated. And therefore, the non-vaccinated people are filling up the hospitals around the country, which is people that got the first and the second shot. And besides,
right,
you want to say?
Calling them the unvaccinated?
Calling them the unvaccinated.
Because they've had two shots.
Because they have two shots and they didn't take the third shot.
Right.
Okay.
We
so
have
now
here
they can.
Yes. So sorry to talk over you. We're having a little bit of a time delay. Go ahead, sir.
Now they can. They can, you know, present it over the media like the unvaccinated people are being sick because they consider those people as a non-vaccinated because they didn't take the third one. But in our opinion, you know. They claim that we are conspiratorim, you know, conspiracy people.
Theory.
Yeah, but we don't deal with a theory of conspiracy. We're dealing with conspiracy, and
yes.
You know, we're revealing the truth around the country because we see that there is no Delta variant at all. And even the while the Israelis are claiming that it happened and started in India, the Prime Minister of India and in India are claiming that there is no such a thing. But it doesn't really matter. But they couldn't isolate the Delta variant at all. And besides, if you want to be checked just for Delta, not for Corona, there is no such a thing. So how can they claim that those people are being sick from Delta? It's a cover-up to the ADE phenomena, which we spoke about before, or we expected after 6 months to happen, and it's already happening. And also we see myocarditis, which is a heart disease.
Right. Myocarditis, yes.
Myocarditis. And some other sicknesses, and unfortunately, they thought in Israel in the beginning that it will happen to 150,000 people that got shots, but then they were able to they reveal, according to their experiment, that it's a 1,700 cases to 50,000. They have to stop immediately according to the Nuremberg Code, but they don't. And as you know, according to the Nuremberg Code, was a gathering of the nations right after the Holocaust to avoid Holocaust, another Holocaust. And then they decide about the Ten Commandments of how to avoid second Holocaust. Unfortunately, in Israel, as far as we see, they broke the entire commands, Ten Commandments of the Nuremberg Code. So the population basically, many people in Israel, I would say, much more numbers that they claim, according the government claim, according to the media, that they got unvaccinated, like 3 million and 3.5 million people didn't get vaccinated. They claim that it's only 1 million, but we know the truth.
Really? And, so they're lying about the numbers who have been vaccinated.
Lying about the numbers, and they don't even publish no more since July the numbers of death, and we know that it's much more than what they claim.
Right. So I have an article here, a grim warning from Israel on the, let's see, from Israel, vaccination blunts but does not defeat. And if I could read a part of it here, basically, and I know you're of the opinion that we don't even know if we're dealing with a Delta variant, it's all fake, but here's what they say. Now is a critical time, Israeli Minister of Health Nitzan Horowitz said, as the 56-year-old got a COVID-19 booster shot on the 13th of August, the day his country became the first nation to offer a third dose of vaccine to people as young as age 50, like what you just said. We're in a race against the pandemic. And then it says here, his message was meant for his fellow Israelis, but it is a warning to the world. Israel has among the world's highest levels of vaccination for COVID-19, with 78% of those 12 and older fully vaccinated, the vast majority with the Pfizer vaccine. Yet the country is now logging one of the world's highest infection rates, with nearly 650 new cases daily per million people. More than half are in fully vaccinated people, underscoring the extraordinary transmissibility of the Delta variant and stoking concerns that the benefits of vaccination ebb over time. So I would love to hear your perspective on basically this Delta variant. And it's interesting because you have one of the highest vaccination rates, and yet we have a graph that actually shows Israel in comparison to somewhere like Sweden, that the purple line in this is basically, these are daily new confirmed COVID-19 cases per million people. And the purple line, the one that spikes at the end, that's Israel as of September 5th. These are very current statistics, where you look at someone like Sweden, they never locked down. I don't know what their vaccination rates are, but they're very low as the confirmed COVID-19 cases per million. And so that's sort of, some of the world data that's coming out.
Okay, first of all, the lockdown is unapproved having a capability to avoid COVID-19 sickness. The opposite is the truth. The unvaccinated people, if they get sick without vaccine and being able to recover from it, then that's the chance of the population to recover through them from the disease. It's not a pandemic, it's a big lie as well. It's basically, in order to get a permission from the FDA to do an experiment on the population in an emergency situation, they had to provide the nation with a false pandemic. by deceiving the population through the media that getting being financed by the pharma industry, as you know.
Yes.
I guess you know. And
I do.
Okay,
I believe
we know
everything you're saying, sir, and it's so serious. And what kind of danger do you come into in being very honest about what is going on?
I got some threats from, you know, many, from, I'm not going to say from whom, it's not going to help me out.
But we
have to, I'll tell you what, you're probably a Christian believer. Let me tell you something. Abraham had to fight with Nimrod. He had to fight Nimrod, despite the fact that Nimrod was the Freemason in the old time, of the old time. He was a Masonic, but that's what they wrote according to their literature, so I can say it. And he was chasing him, and he took him to throw him to the fire. It's the same thing with Moses when he fought Pharaoh. Pharaoh was with his pyramids, and the Io was Horus, and all the symbols of the mafia, basically of the same path of Nimrod. Moses was fighting him, and Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel was fighting Nebuchadnezzar with the Babylon Tower, and we also fighting the New World Order. It's the same path of Moses. It's the same path of Abraham. It's the same path of David fighting Goliath. It's the same path. They have also a point of view. Their point of view. It's the same path, and it's an old fight. It's an ancient fight. It's not a new fight with the New World Order. And we as a Jews, we know that this fight is the fight of the Messiah against the New World Order in the end of time.
Well, this is indeed quite a shock, because under Netanyahu, we saw Israel as being a very free country. And now when you're talking about potentially seeing forced vaccination, and they've been leading the way in this vaccine passport. This is a complete obliteration of freedom. It is an assault on humankind, and it's very shocking to see coming from Israel.
So, yeah, it's a very shocking to see it's coming from Israel, because in Israel there is a fight between the good and evil. It's the heart. Jerusalem is the heart. And before we consider ourselves Israelis, we consider ourselves Jewish. And the Bible is a Jewish book. We have 48 prophets, Jewish prophets, and seven female prophets. And it's the constitution of Judaism, not the constitution of Israel, of the state of Israel. The state of Israel, we don't consider state of Israel as leading the Jewish nation. No, they're leading their new culture that they created in the recent time, which is
yes,
the opposite of Judaism in many ways. And we don't think that Benjamin Netanyahu is our prime minister, or Bennett is our prime minister. I don't think so. I don't consider him. I consider him as a leader of a group that we disagree with their agenda, because they reject their Jewish identity, and we being on an exile in Israel till the Messiah gonna come.
Wow. So that's sort of, is that a new perspective you're talking about, or has this been happening for many years? Or are you saying when Netanyahu left, then sort of we all understood we're not with this guy?
No, it's not about the recent politics. We're not.
It's not about that.
It's not about that. It's much more. It's much deeper than that.
It's like a spiritual fight.
It's a spiritual fight.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual fight about identity, about the soul. And we don't consider the secular leaders of Israel as our leaders. No, they're not. We have God, we have the Torah, we have the Bible, we have the Messiah, we have the hope of the Temple of Israel and the redemption. We don't go by what they go.
So do you think that you have a large, if you were to say percentage, and maybe that's an unfair question because we seem never to know, but would you say a large group is aware and is awakened as you are, and how does it bear out?
I'd say something very surprising. The corona event caused too many people to wake up and to realize that the Israeli government are not their leaders, and to search for God.
Right.
And to go back and to repent and to make a tshuva, specifically nowadays, because they realize that they don't have anybody to rely on, and they don't trust no more in the institution of the government or the regime in Israel.
Sorry to interrupt you. Is the same thing happening in Israel though, where they're pitting the vaccinated against the unvaccinated, because that's what's happening very strongly in Canada?
That's what Bennett are trying to do as a prime minister, to I'd say to chase the unvaccinated people and to blame them for spreading the Delta all over, which is unfortunately, as a prime minister, he doesn't even know how to manage, because he's supposed to unite the nation. What he's doing is the opposite. And in my opinion, he is a puppet of, let me surprise you, of the CFR and the Jesuit in the Vatican.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, I know that I don't know, if you, it's a Christian program. I don't know which part, which denomination, but we consider the Vatican as the most evil place on earth. And specifically the Jesuit order.
Yes.
And the Black Pope.
We find that many, when, as you begin to study this, you see that the Jesuits, what they're trained in. I believe that Anthony Fauci was raised in the Jesuit order. And we are seeing that the Pope now is just a shameful result of progressivism and is destroying godly, you know, all the commands.
According to wise rabbis of 800 years ago, 150 years ago, they claimed that the Messiah will go, just like Moses, to Pharaoh. He will go to the Vatican, to the Black Pope, and ask him, "Let my people go." Which is, that's the analogy of how we look at the Vatican. The Messiah, the son of David, will go to the Pope in the Vatican and tell him that, Komar Hashem, that here the Lord say, let my people go. And he will say, "I don't know God," because he doesn't believe in God of the Bible. He believes in Lucifer. And basically, the Vatican was conquered by the Luciferian doctrine. So we know it, and we were able to check it from within the Vatican. So we know what's going on inside the Vatican.
Right.
And I would say according, I'll tell you that we think that the Islam, Christian people around the world, the Jewish people around the world, I'm not saying that I agree with, and we don't have to agree, but we have a common enemy, which is the New World Order, that want to wipe out Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and create one world religion, which is a Luciferian doctrine. And we have to realize that. And unfortunately, also in your church, when they try to vaccinate people, they don't understand that it's a deception of the New World Order to depopulate humanity from all over the world and to create one world religion, one world government. Now, since they want Jerusalem as the capital, so we are the center. So we are being attacked by the shadow government. So the experiment of around the world experiment is being emphasized on Israel now. And as you know, we know that the anti-Semitic people from 74 years ago, they didn't change their characteristic in working on the spiritual matter. They still have the same intention. And they are around and trying to harm the nation of Israel again and again and again by through deception.
Well,
so they're behind it.
Right. Would you say that in Revelations, are you one who follows firmly that Jesus Christ is the Messiah spoken of in the Old Testament?
No, we're not. We don't believe in that. I used to.
Okay.
I was 7.5 years in the church. I converted to Christianity, but then I got back 22 years or 23 years ago to Judaism after realizing what is the real path.
Okay.
So I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah. So we'll stay away from that, because as a Christian, you know, I do believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's okay. But I do really appreciate your intel in Israel. I think I totally agree that Jerusalem is going to play a pivotal role in the last days. And
yes, I tell you what.
That is all shaping up.
We know that they want to remove the Vatican to Zion Mountain because they want to conquest, to take over Judaism and Christianity, both birds in one shot. You got to understand that the Last Supper room of whom you believe in,
Jesus.
I'm going to say.
Jesus,
I'm not going to say.
Okay.
I'm not going to say.
Do you not say his name?
That's not his name. That's just an English name. It's not even his name. But anyways, the Last Supper room is right above the tomb of King David in Mount Zion. And they want to take over Mount Zion and to deliver the Vatican from Rome to Mount Zion to create a world religion from there. And if you really want to know, then they also want to build the Temple of Jerusalem according to Solomon Temple, but not to worship God of Israel. It's to worship the Luciferian doctrine and to conquest God in his house. That's what they want. But they're trying to basically cause the Arabs and the Jews a fight, claiming above the carpet that they're, you know, pushing toward peace, like John Kerry. But under the carpet, since they're part of the New World Order, they're basically trying to create an animosity, and because they want us to fight one another, and then they want to take over.
So, Rabbi Daniel, what is the Luciferian order? What would be the rules of that sort of New World Order? How do they see life that would be in, I mean, I know who Lucifer is. I know he's evil to the core, but how would the New World Order incorporate that? What would it look like?
I'll tell you what. They have a lot of plans. We're not fearing their plans. We have a confidence in God's plan. We know that they're going to probably, according to the Talmud and according to our literature, according to our mysticism or Judaism, that they will control the world for 9 months. But then after 9 months, they're going to fall because the Messiah is going to take over. Okay. So we, it's just like a birth and a pregnancy, 9 months of pregnancy of the redemption.
And, are you saying this is a prophecy in the Talmud?
It's a prophecy all over the literature of Judaism.
Okay.
We know that they're going to control the world for 9 months and make some a world holocaust. We know it.
Wow.
Unfortunately.
And do you think that this is part of it now? Are,
yes,
are we started. Entering that time?
Exactly. No, we didn't start in 9 months. It's previous, of course, but because
they have 9 months.
It's before the 9 months, because they have to control what everybody will recognize their regime around the world as a only one control, one government, one world government. Unfortunately, there will be a world holocaust, but we know that Israel is just a Noah ark. And here, a miracle going to take place, and a new civilization going to be created right here in Israel. It's a place of emerging a new civilization, because God doesn't like what he see here, the Western civilization or the Eastern civilization around the world. There's a lot of evilness. And the world must change.
Right.
And according to the prophecies, it's gonna take place in Israel.
Yes, and so I'm not as familiar with the Talmud as I am with the Bible, but you were formerly in the Christian faith. Do you see any similarities between Revelations and the Talmud? Is the Talmud prophetic words included in the Bible, the Old Testament?
We base in the Talmud. The Talmud based on the scriptures.
Yes.
They don't invent anything. It's basically we're sitting in the yeshiva and studying. We criticize the Talmud. Where you take your information from the Bible? Where is the source of everything? That's what we do when we study. I know that over the street, people don't know what we're doing because they don't really know what the Jewish people are doing. They don't know what Judaism is all about. We criticize our own Talmud more than anyone else, and we criticize our literature to see where they took it and according to which rule they took it and where the rules come from.
So are some of the prophecies that are in the Talmud, would we be able to find that corresponded in the Bible?
Yes.
Old Testament.
Of course, yes.
Yes. So this 9 months you're talking about, I find this fascinating, and I'd like to just pick your brain a little bit. When you talk about a Holocaust, would that Holocaust be taking place during the time of the 9 months?
Exactly.
And the Holocaust, do you believe that we've entered this time where the shots are going to begin taking lives?
Yes.
And they, as they already are.
Yes, already are. But what you see here is a previous. It's not even the beginning.
We're not
the beginning will take, unfortunately, the beginning will be, you're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss it. It's going to be a disaster. It's going to be obvious to anyone. And we got to understand it's not what we see, it's what Zechariah is saying, the prophets, the yes. prophet Zechariah is saying. And the nine months are coming from, the 9 months are coming from Michaya, or Micha. Azitnem Adet Yoleda. In Hebrew, it would say the scripture that God will give them in the time of birth, just like the time of birth. Azitnem Adet Yoleda. It's a scripture in Micha that claiming that right before their redemption, 9 months before the coming of the Messiah, there is a government that will control the entire world, and we now know which is the government. We know that it's a new world order, and we know that it's the I'd say the statue of Nebuchadnezzar in Nebuchadnezzar dream, which is the statue with the golden statue. With the golden head, and you know that Daniel was translating to Nebuchadnezzar. Yes. That's the new world order statue, which is a statue,
so basically,
where human beings
by the prophet Daniel, yes,
are trying to cover up. It's also Yechezkel, it's also Zechariah, it's also Micha, it's all over the Bible. And we know that right after that, and we assume that it's supposed, according to the Talmud, the seventh year of the Shemitah, you know, that we don't do any action in the ground, we don't plant, we don't take care of the ground, and the seventh year is coming, the coming year, the new year now, is a Shemitah, and a war will take place, and by the end of it, on the eighth year, the Messiah is supposed to come. Now, we don't know if it's this seventh year of the Shemitah and this eighth year, the end of the Shemitah, the time of the coming Messiah, or we have to wait another 7 years. But we do know, according to our literature, that the Messiah is supposed to come by the end of the Shemitah, which is the end of the seventh year of the Shemitah. And we are approaching a Shemitah now, right. The coming year.
Okay. Are you beginning to see a lot of deaths post-vaccination in Israel? Is it being reported? Are they talking about it? Are people realizing? Does everybody want to take four shots?
Okay. No. In the alternative media, people talking about it. But in the public media, which is the mainstream media, we know that they're getting money in order to cover up the truth. Many people know it. Many people don't believe in it. And many people are waking up and going back to their own Jewish identity because they're realizing that they're being deceived. And they have nothing to rely on. The Israeli government are not... are not leading the population. They're getting order. They're prophets. They're getting order from anti-Semitic organizations around the world. You name it. Doesn't really matter whether it's a Bilderberg or CFR, a Council for Foreign Relations, or if it's the Vatican or the Kingdom of England or a Club of Rome. It doesn't really matter.
Do you feel like there's a coming back then, an awakening that people thought, oh, like this shot is going to help me, I'll get two. And now it's like, what, three? What, four? How many, you know, the passports, that they're, are they beginning to awaken that this is bad?
We're trying to wake up people to not to take the passport of the New World Order, which is a green passport. And not to counterfeit it, and not to participate to the game, because we think that it's we want the passport of God. We don't want the passport of the New World Order. That's what we call it. And we think that it's just like China, the same thing, that basically are taking the human rights from people, from population, and are trying to push away the unvaccinated people from having able to live their life freely around the country, you know.
Yes. Well, it appears, Rabbi, that what is happening there is also happening here. We're just a bit behind you. We are starting to get, 73% have their first shot, 73% have two shots, they're saying, over 80% have one shot. So we're not at three and four shots, but that graph that we looked at is very disturbing, that you're seeing a lot of what they're calling the Delta, and we don't even know what that is without isolation, you can just say anything. But basically, if there's variants, what doctors have been saying, and I wonder if you agree with this, but they're saying that you get inoculated, but then you're not able to fight a new attack virus, a new variant. No. And then you're being taken out.
When you have an artificial immune system that causing to your natural immune system to be pushed away and not to operate, then the mRNA can produce the spike that can basically maybe being recognized by the immune system as an enemy, but their genetic code of it is similar to 28 other you say chalbon,
types.
I don't know how to say. I can say it in Hebrew, chalbon.
Right. that's okay.
Yeah, and then another 28 variants. other parts of body parts could be being attacked by the immune system, which is an AD phenomena. And what we see is basically the AD phenomena. Now they're talking about the fourth shot. They're already talking about it.
Huh? So that's very bad.
Yes. I'm talking about the protein, the word that I would say that there is another 28 protein that have the same similar genetic code, just like this corona spike that being produced by the mRNA.
Ribosome.
So
we have a question before I let you go. We have a question about the mark of the beast. Do you believe that, first of all, in the mark of the beast, or is that strictly a Christian perspective? I certainly believe that, that there is a mark 666 that is going to be related in all of this. But what do you say about that? Is the passport the beginning of setting up the tracing and tracking to put in this new world order?
Yes, they're tracking people to basically to push them back, I'd say it in different terms, to slavery in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And the Messiah will come to redeem us from Egypt.
Mm-hmm. It's, well, amen to that.
In the same way, it's a dictatorship and digital dictatorship that they're pushing on people by chips, by G5, by vaccinating people, by graphene oxide, by ethylene oxide that they're pushing with the PCR, and we know that they're trying to depopulate humanity by 90%, and already committing crimes against humanity. And I think that definitely they're operating according to their set of belief, which come from the New Testament, because they are basically Edomite. And they're not believing in the New Testament, but they take the concept of the New Testament in Revelation, and they're trying to fulfill it in the evil way, the way they believe. So we don't consider 666 as a something that have any really real meaning. But we know that they do believe in it.
Yes,
so
yes.
It's like a prophecy that's fulfilling itself.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And that is funny, isn't it? I know that you do not ascribe to that, but when Bill Gates, you know, gets a patent with the number 666060606 after 2020, when he gets that, we all think it's very, very interesting, right? So, sir, I will leave you with that. I have found this to be a most fascinating interview with you, and I am so grateful for your courage. You are speaking out beautifully. Could we please do this again, let's say in a couple of months, to see what is happening? And we pray that God will help all of us. The true Lord God Jehovah will help us to navigate these times with wisdom and discernment. And I thank you for your time.
You're welcome. If you allow me to tell you, you interview Rabbi Yoav Elon. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
Rabbi Yoav Elon is studying with me together, and we came together to a conclusion. We studied together, you know, twice a week for hours, mysticism or Judaism. And it's a different level of information. That,
fascinating.
Not many people having an access to it. But he told me that maybe we have to wake up not only the Jewish people here in Israel and or in around the world, but to wake up the world. It doesn't really matter whom, to understand that we have a common enemy, which is the New World Order.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Trying to wipe out your faith and your religion and my religion and any other religion, specifically the three major religion, the monotheist religion around the world. Because
and that includes Islam to you as well, right?
That's what they want. It doesn't really matter if it does. It's not that I have to agree with Islam, but I would say that they are trying to wipe out the three major religions.
Faith. That's what the devil would love the most, wouldn't he? Fascinating. I find you very interesting, sir, and I've enjoyed this so much. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I pray God's blessing on you and his favor and his hand of protection on you.
Well, thank you, and I wish you a lot of luck. And
Be'ezrat
Hashem, we're all waiting, all the good people around the world, waiting for the Messiah to come. And I tell you what, we do believe that some Christian also, as far as I'm my belief, I know that Christian don't really realize that, but we do believe that some denominations of Christianity will be redeemed by the end of time, and it's not the Vatican.
Amen. I'm in agreement with you.
Okay.
100%. I hope I'm in. Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
See you soon. All right. Bye-bye. Okay, we are going to add Facebook now. Just looking at my hair here, I didn't really have a chance to fully check it all. Is it okay? Yeah, it's all right. Liz says it's good, then we're good. We're going to add Facebook right now, see if it works. And if not, we're going to start again. You can see if it begins happening, because we'll see the numbers start going up very fast. We realized we couldn't speak with the rabbi, on there because of some of the views expressed and all of that. So we wanted to honor Facebook in that regard. But are we there? All right. Okay. And so do I get to speak with my dear friend Mark Friesen pretty soon?
He's there, but he's in black right now.
He's in black. Okay. Well, we'll wait for Mark Friesen to come on in. I'll let him know. We are waiting for you, Mark. Already. All right. Okay. Yep. I see the numbers going up. Facebook is joining us. Yay. Isn't this fun to watch? So it's funny, you guys. This is the first time we've done it this way. Yeah, where.
Explain it again what happened.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times.
Because now they're all on for sure. So
now they're on. Yeah. So we were on Odyssey and we were doing a little. excuse me. We were doing a little. A wonderful interview with a rabbi, Daniel Essor, and he had some very important things to tell us about Israel and what is really going on there. And they are up to 3 vaccinations in Israel, and they're going for their 4th. So there is an awakening happening. And do we have that graph handy while we wait for Mark just to burst on the scene here? But for instance, we went over this graph, and this is showing, so the COVID cases, oh my goodness, I can't see it because things in the way. Oh my Lord. Anyways, this is cases of COVID. So that purple streak there up high, Israel, that's cases per million people. So look at the cases skyrocketing in a country like Israel, where they've had their 3rd going on 4th vaccine, as opposed to Sweden. See that green place at the bottom there? Cases way down, way down. Sweden didn't lock down. They don't have a big push on everything. And so we went over stuff like that and also the real truth. And I want to actually bring clarity about a video we showed yesterday from it went all over the internet. It said that they were taking a child from unvaccinated parents. I showed that video yesterday, and you know, something, it checked in my spirit about that. And I asked the rabbi, is that, and we showed it to him and we said, is this really happening? Are they taking this child from unvaccinated parents? And he said that was not the case. However, he confirmed that it is quickly moving towards forced vaccination. And so, very interesting conversation. I want to welcome my dear friend, Mark Friesen, and I am so excited because he is running an incredible campaign for the People's Party of Canada. And I want to say right off the bat that we invite all NDP and Liberal candidates, Green Party candidates, Conservative Party candidates, you are welcome on this show. I would love to have you on and ask you a few questions about your a platform, whatever that is. Did Mark leave because I said that? Hey, Mark, I'm just saying, Mark, I got to give everyone a fair shot because I want to have all the parties on. This is a platform where I am fair to the world and I love dialogue. And if you have a difference of opinion, then I love having those people on. Good to see you, Mark. I'm so happy to have you on the show. I'm not sure I hear you yet.
There you are.
Yes, I can. You look great, Mark. You look like the coolest PPC guy ever. You look so great. How's it going? Tell me about how the campaign is.
It's overwhelming, Laura Lynn. Me and you went through an experience in 2019 that wasn't the greatest. I can tell you this is exponentially different. The amount of support is really overwhelming, to be honest with you. It's donations are flooding in. I can run an actual effective campaign. I got huge billboards. I got signs everywhere. I got radio interviews, radio spots, advertising, you name it. And it's just, it's phenomenal. This purple wave is for real. I just looked at a poll on 338 and they have us at 10%. Which is something that nobody thought we could ever attain before the election. I believe it's a lot higher than that.
Yep. You bet it is. You bet it is. We have seen crowds of thousands that are, you know, Maxime is being invited to some of these freedom rallies. And there was, you know, we were just had a great rally for him in Abbotsford, 1,500 people in Abbotsford, Mark, Abbotsford. It was like, wow, people are hungry. They're going, we can't vote for the Conservatives. I mean, what are we going to do with a guy like O'Toole, who is basically the same as our Trudeau government? And if I could just run a clip of Trudeau, let me show you what Trudeau is saying these days. Do you have that one ready?
In the interim, and as a first step, since a number of provinces have chosen to step forward with vaccine certification of their own, we have decided that the best way to do that is to work with each of them so that they are reasonably standardized across the country, and so that there is a federal certification on that that will be accepted for international travel. It is an interim measure, perhaps will last a year or so, before we bring in the formalized passport version of it.
This passport issue, Mark, has become what everybody cares about. And we have O'Toole, who's basically in support of it.
Yep. Trudeau himself said, I think it was last week, this election is literally voting for tyranny or freedom. Those were his words, and I'm summarizing, of course, but paraphrasing. But this is it. This is what the election is about. It's about whether you value freedom or you want tyranny, and it can't be more clear. And this is, you know, let's face it, the PPC put a flag up 3 years ago, and the core values within that party is freedom, fairness, respect, and responsibility. We've been there. We've been here from the beginning of the party till now. We knew that we stood on those core values for a reason. And right now, those core values shared by the majority of Canadians across this country are finally standing up to defend those values.
Absolutely. Why should someone vote for the People's Party of Canada? I mean, I know we're desperate, and we have got to have a party that believes in freedom. I cannot believe what is going on. I can't believe the bowing that the Conservative Party, you know, I just call them the Compromise Party of Canada.
Well, 100%. And Laura Lynn, I mean, this election, I just got out of a seniors complex, presented to them that this election is about our values, the values that we share across this country, the values of freedom, liberty, justice, sovereignty, equality under the law, prosperity, and truth. Ask a Canadian who doesn't cherish those values. You won't find one, for the most part. And those are the values that are under attack. Those are the values that we're going to unite under. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what we're seeing across the board, across the country, is people are finally starting to get it, that there's one party that represents these values and wants unity in our country to defeat our enemy. The enemy to these values, and that's every establishment party that we have. So the answer couldn't be more clear, and it's just a matter of getting that message out to as many people as we can in every riding across the board. And, you know, I'm talking to people across the country, candidates, and they're saying they've never seen anything like it. Sean Taylor out of West Kootenay, South Okanagan, he hasn't seen anything like it. It's purple everywhere. The whole business community in Grand Forks has his signs in their windows. Everywhere he drives, his signs are being, or conservative signs are being replaced by his. It's happening everywhere. It's phenomenal. I can't hear you now.
So sorry. I think that maybe the awakening is happening, that people are beginning to see that the only party, and I do say this with all due respect to the amazing Christian Heritage Party, who's been around, who also stands for freedom. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get the kind of momentum needed in the Christian Heritage Party, but people are willing, absolutely, to embrace the People's Party of Canada because their stand for freedom. Even on socially conservative issues, when Maxime was here in downtown Vancouver and in Abbotsford, you know, discussions on where he stands on abortion, as an example, he stands for freedom, and he outwardly said that he came against the fact that we are the only place in the world, in the free world, that does not have any abortion legislation. And people celebrate that. And not because that's a crucial issue in this you know, in this campaign, it hasn't been at all. But people want to know, where does this Maxime guy stand? Where he stands is that he wants MPs who will be able to lobby for the people in their riding, to lobby their personal convictions that are representative by those people, and that he'll stand for freedom. He's the only one talking against these lockdowns, while we've got O'Toole basically always about to put on his mask in one of his, you know, commercials.
Yeah, I had that same conversation again with this group of seniors right now. And, you know, I told them why I joined the PPC. I joined it obviously because of the core values of freedom, fairness, respect, responsibility. But the simple fact that I was afforded the opportunity to speak whatever it is I believe in. There is no party whip that whips everybody to say the same thing that everybody else is saying. We're a group of just regular people across the country who are bringing their issues into the party, and we're allowed to do that. And as MPs, if we're elected, we won't be whipped to follow some party line. We can represent the issues that our constituents actually want represented. And that's an incredibly important that our established parties do not allow. Every party has a whip. They're not there to represent the constituents. They're to represent their party. And they say exactly what the party wants them to say. And if they don't, they're kicked out. We've watched the Conservatives kick out, I don't know how many people over the last number of years.
Oh, my word.
Who try to stand on convictions and their beliefs. And as soon as they do, they're turfed. So, you know, things have to change. It should be democracy. And part of democracy is representing the people that you are elected to represent and the issues that they feel strongly about, whether it's abortion, whether it's euthanasia. All of these issues, yes, the PPC doesn't take a particular position, but we allow for the debate and the discussion, and that's exactly what we're supposed to do, and we haven't done for many decades in this country.
Mark, I saw the other day at Maxime Bernier's his rallies here in British Columbia, people are sometimes in tears because they're so afraid. And how are you seeing the people of Saskatchewan? Are they understanding sort of how serious this is? Has it hit home
yet?
Yeah,
and Laura Lynn, I'm seeing people in tears because they're so happy there's somebody there that represents their values. I come to tears on a daily basis.
Yes.
Because people are affected. People are finally seeing that, wow, there's somebody that has courage and conviction that's willing to fight for the values that I cherish for my kids and my grandkids.
Yeah, it's
that's
really
how
amazing.
Important this is. It is. It's incredible. I've never been part of anything like it.
Mark, here in British Columbia, we're not allowed to eat in the restaurants if we're unvaccinated in, is it 5 days now? The countdown's on for me because I really like my local jaunt. And what's it like in Saskatchewan? Have they implemented any of these kinds of measures in Saskatchewan? And is it coming to a restaurant near you?
Well, so our government has stated, and who knows if they're going to flip on this, but to this point, they've stated they're not going to impose it from a government level. But what we're seeing is the restrictions coming back at a municipal level. And we're seeing the corporations starting to move towards this. Now, that's going to be up to the people, unless the PPC can get in government and end all this crap, but it's going to be up to the people to decide whether they want to live in a show me your paper society or if they want to live in a free society. And I have made it clear as a business owner in Saskatchewan that it is actually against the law for me as a business owner to ask anybody their health status. It is covered under the Privacy Act. It's covered under the Provincial Bill of Rights. It's covered under our Public Health Act. It's covered under the Constitution, under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, under the Nuremberg Code, and under human rights, international human rights. So as a business owner, I absolutely will not require any of my customers to show me their health status. I will not require my employees to show me their health status. It's none of my damn business as a business owner. So, you know, and I know there's a lot of businesses in Saskatchewan that are taking that same position. And we absolutely have to. And the businesses that want to be tyrannical, the businesses that want to follow this fascist agenda, hey, go ahead. We'll see where you are in a month or two. You'll be finished. I will make that a promise. Laura Lynn, I am so angry on a daily ongoing basis, seeing this vax pass, this tyranny, this complete dismissal of our rights that soldiers and men and women from our country over the past 150 years have gave their lives fighting for. And we're watching businesses impose this fascism. We're watching people completely disregard these rights that we have fought and died for. It drives me insane to see that people are getting on board with this. But I'm telling you, there is a wave of people that are willing to fight and willing to stand for our values and our freedoms and our liberties.
There sure is. And I am so proud of Maxime Bernier. I am so proud of being associated with him, standing with him. And I personally will want to run in the next. I was unable to this time, and I will want to run and gearing up to be ready for the next one. But I really love this guy, Mark. He has a passion for our nation. He gets it. I think that he's evolved a lot, right? From even, I don't know that any of us knew, I know you've been speaking about, you know, the UN and global issues for a long time, but you know, Mark, I don't think we all understood what we were up against. And since 2019 to now, this man, Maxime Bernier, has become the sounding, the only true politician standing up out loud. And of course there's Derek Sloan, but he's not running this time. He's not able to put his name forward as a leader of any party. And so we wish him well in the riding he's running in Alberta. However, Maxime Bernier, this is the man, this is the hour, this is the time when you have to stop the compromise of voting for a party just to get Trudeau out. That is passé, it's done. And you know, we don't know if Trudeau can get out or not. I don't think it's actually looking great, you know, but I just appreciate Maxime.
You know, one of the reasons, and I have many, but one of the reasons I joined the PPC and I you know, support Max is I've seen from the time he created the party to now, his growth, his evolution, his understanding of globalism and the globalist agenda and sustainable development, Great Reset and all of this. I've watched him and I've actually been part of his growth by trying to educate him as to what's happening through myself and Salim and others. And that's what I want in a leader. I want somebody who's actually prepared to listen and be prepared to evolve and grow and understand. And that's exactly what he's showing that he's done. And so was he an expert on the globalist agenda when he created the PPC? Absolutely not. But what did he do? He brought the core values to the party that allows for people like myself and Salim and others to influence the party, to move the party in the direction we need it to move so we can be there for the Overton window to catch up to us. Because we're leading from the front, Laura-Lynn. This was hard for Max to wrap his head around because he came out of the swamp. He came out of establishment politics, and there's a certain way you do business in that swamp. And he came out of it, and he had to grow from it and get that stink off, and he's done that. And now putting that flag where he put it, the Overton window is moving toward where we've put it. That's leading from the front. All of our leaders right now in the establishment, whether conservative, liberal, NDP, green, you name it, they don't lead from the front. They lead from the rear. They wait for the media to establish the narrative, to manipulate and indoctrinate the masses, and then the politicians follow in behind that narrative. That's leading from the rear. Right now, and this goes for the provinces too, they're all the same. That's where we're different. We lead from the front and we change. We make change through influence, through education and information, so that as people learn and they understand, they will come to us. We're not going to them. We stand on principle, we have convictions of our values, and people will get it. It's just a matter of time, and we're watching it right now play out in this election.
Yeah, we sure are. And you know, one of the things that people are realizing is that they cannot continue with that same narrative that they have to vote for who they always voted for in order to try to maintain, you know, some sort of status quo. We have at this time many Christian leaders now being able to say that they're not able to vote for Maxime, for O'Toole, and will vote for Maxime Bernier because O'Toole does not represent conservative values. And so when you talk about voting for your values, are you going to vote for O'Toole, who voted against a ban on sex selection abortion? How easy is this to say we should not actually abort children on the basis of them being girls or boys, but usually it's girls.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And this is the thing is the Conservative Party, just like all the rest of them, don't stand on values. They don't stand with conviction. They just, they pander and they have no principles. Listen, if anybody is still trying to put out the argument of splitting the vote, they're being controlled by Trudeau. Think about this. Let that sink in for a second. You're so petrified of Trudeau that you're allowing him and his existence to dictate your vote. Instead of voting for your values, instead of actually voting for something, you're voting for nothing and dismissing and ignoring all your values. Like, come on, folks. This is the most critical election in our nation's history. And you're worried about Trudeau? Don't worry about Trudeau. Don't worry about O'Toole. Worry about your values. Worry about what's happening to our nation in front of our eyes. And vote your values. Vote what actually means something. Because you have an opportunity to do that. And it's crucial that we do that. Laura Lynn, we absolutely have to get PPC members of parliament. We have to get seats. I don't know if this wave is going to be enough to get us to win a majority. Although if it keeps going on the track that it is, who knows? But at the very least, we have to have seats in parliament to be in opposition, to get these talking points, to get this narrative, to get this information into the public sphere. And the best way and the only way to do that with mainstream Canadians is through politics, through being in parliament and educating people through that process. And if we can do that, let's say 12 seats and we're an official party status, they have to give us the time and question period to ask the questions, the relative questions, the tough questions, the important questions. If we can do that, man, we've got a shot and we will save this country. We will take it back from the globalists, but we have to be in there to do it. So I can't stress it enough, people. Don't worry about this vote split. Don't vote out of fear. Vote out of hope. Vote out of love. Vote out of your values. And you do that and we take this country back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely we do. I'm trying to get to the next shot of Maxime here. Do you know, if I could just tell you something, when Maxime was willing to take me on as a candidate, I knew that it was a God shot in my life. I had felt the call, a very powerful call, like a real, like, you know, that God was leading me towards politics, which was very strange for me because unlike you, I hadn't really been following all of the details of politics, but I did know that if some people were able to lobby our governments for certain things, that maybe that was my way to somehow do some contribution to that. And I was so shocked that I was not able to run for the Conservatives because basically, as I heard via the grapevine, that I was too controversial because I didn't support gender transitioning of minors. And as for adults, I've always been clear, don't care, fly your flag. So when I was standing for children in this country and I found out that the Conservative Party of Canada could not stand with me, I felt very divinely led to Maxime Bernier, who gave me a shot. And I have felt since the moment that I first spoke with him and met him that he was destined for the prime ministership of this country. And I have never said this out loud, Mark, but I felt from the depths of my being where you know in your knower that this man holds the king's key. And as I followed him, even when he lost his seat, and I'm sure you remember that night because we were all facing as well a loss in our bid for the 2019 running to be a voice in parliament. As we saw on the television that he had lost his seat. I remember thinking this, Mark, that God only allows such great pain when he has a great victory ahead. And nothing in me said that it was done. And I knew Maxime would not give up. I knew this was a tough night. His wife's in tears. He's lost his seat. And all I knew in my heart is, this ain't the end. We're going to victory. This is not it. And I am so grateful for those who have not given up. And now, Maxime's our only choice. If you believe in life, you can't vote for the conservatives because they will not even entertain a bill to protect life of any form in Canada. If you believe in freedom, now we have a prime minister, now we have the leader of the Conservative Party and the Prime Minister in cohesion to bring in a vaccine passport. So there's really only one choice. And now I see you guys, you're making 10%. I saw one for 16%. And then I saw a tiny little poll of, you know, some paper that did it, and it was 40% for the PPC, you know. Know there's pockets of great grace.
In Saskatoon, the CTV did a poll in Saskatoon on the leadership, and it was 66% in favor of Maxime Bernier.
Wow. Wow.
So,
I mean, this is good news.
It is happening.
It is happening.
And of course, the CTV took that off immediately after the poll was finished, because God forbid they promote that idea. But that was the reality, right? So, you know, it is what it is. It's happening, and people see it. And right. You know, this as my good friend Salim Mansour always says, this is providence, and I believe that it's there's something bigger at play here. And you know me, I'm not a church going Christian, but I'm a believer.
Yeah, so and to I say. I saw you at my church though this last year. That's
you
pretty
did.
Cool.
You
yeah.
Did. But there's something bigger here, and something that's driving me from within. Obviously, I've been at this game for a very long time, and that. That has been burning in my belly for a long time, but it's there's something bigger at play here, and I'm seeing. Speaking of that, I'm seeing a lot of people that were former atheists that have been so moved by this movement and understanding that this is also a spiritual war, that they've actually converted to Christianity, and they're attending church and they're praying and they're. Because they understand that this is much bigger than just what's on the ground and in our face. It's there's a spiritual element to this, 100%.
Well, it's raising up. When you've seen our country be degraded to the point where pastors are put in jail because of COVID, and murderers, as in British Columbia, a murderer I know about, a very close friend of mine, her daughter's boyfriend was murdered by a guy. He got let out because of COVID. And you've got pastors going to jail. This is a spiritual battle. You're being told, as we are in British Columbia, like we feel it pretty hard right now. We're like the lepers of society, apparently. Sorry, I don't accept that, and I don't feel like a leper. But they're telling us we can't go to certain places now in 5 days. Because why? Because our government and our medical establishment is so corrupt and so vile, not even the courts will stand up. There's never been a more important time to vote. You're not going to get your relief from Mr. Passport endorser O'Toole. You got the three, Jagmeet Singh, he's all for the passport, Trudeau, O'Toole, all of them. PPC guys or bust. I mean, this is it. It's the ultimate end.
100%, Laurelyn. Couldn't agree more.
And I just thank you then, Mark. Bless you on your campaign. We're going to continue to watch, and maybe we can get in another interview towards the final days for another push for you in Saskatchewan. What is your riding called exactly?
Saskatoon Grasswood.
Okay. That's fantastic. We love you so much. Honestly, you are so precious to my heart.
My only regret through this whole experience is that you aren't a candidate in this, but Yes. I know that you'll be back next round. And who knows, if it's a minority government, we may be at this again in 2 years. We'll see how it all plays.
I will be there. I'm gearing up. I already know. I need to set some things straight. And, you know, this time was hard for me. And I thank you that you're still talking to me, Mark. I know you weren't happy about that. I made a decision that I needed to at this time for my personal life. But the next round, I would love to represent for the PPC. And so I love Maxime. I love you. One of the greatest things about life is who you get to do life with. And I'm so glad one of those people is you. Thank you, Mark.
Back at you, Laura Lynn.
All right. Take care. God bless.
You too.
All right. Oh, that is a good guy. That is a very, very good man. And you're blessed if you're in the Saskatchewan area and can vote for him. Check out who your PPC person is there. Remember, all of these guys, they don't necessarily have the huge funds. They don't necessarily have all, you know, the money that all the big parties are able to put in. But this is war. This is a war for our freedom and for our country. I want to show you a couple of interesting things going on. What did we, the CDC, you know, if you're watching what the CDC has been doing, they just made an Orwellian change to the definition of vaccine. And this is super interesting. So, you know, real quiet and without making a big fanfare about it, the CDC changes the definition of vaccine on their website. So this was the definition. Is that right? Am I saying that right, JT? A product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, okay? And then it says vaccination. The act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Okay, so check out what they are now referring to these same words as. They've changed the definition. Look at this. So vaccine, a preparation, it's a preparation now, that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. So now, instead of being the... Instead of being stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, it is going to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. And then vaccination now means the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection, not immunity, because, well, what do we all know? It does not produce immunity. These are not producing, certainly not long lasting, just maybe reducing some of the side effects of getting COVID-19. And what do we know now? We have the data. Many people have passed away after taking two shots of the COVID-19 vaccine. Before I leave you today, I like this guy, an Ontario canoe maker. He posts jobs only for unvaccinated individuals. You go. I want to work at your canoe shop. I'm going to give up this. If this whole broadcast thing doesn't work out, I'm going to work at his place. All right. And then Rebel News wins their case against the Trudeau government. Have you heard about this? Rebel News was told that they could not show up and be part of representing news in Canada about what's going on. Why? Oh, well, maybe they're maybe not getting paid, you know, $1 million from the government to say the government's talking points. Maybe they're actually real media. We love you, Ezra Levant and the whole gang, Sheila Gunn Reid and everybody that's down there. And of course, my dear friend, love her to death. Drea. Drea Humphreys, who's in this area. And so we are just so proud that they have been successful in their bid as of this morning, I believe, right, in court. The court says, of course you can. This is Canada. We are not North Korea. We're not Afghanistan or Syria. No, this is Canada, the land, the true North, strong and free. This is where we are. So say no to vaccine passports. Oh, there's that wonderful PPC, People's Party of Canada thing, that an ad that we're looking at. Down in the States, let's just have a quick, well, no, let's go to the Calgary police. Calgary Police, hey man, smack. Woo, we love you. High five. Thank you for standing up. This is the Calgary Police who are standing against the provincial passports, and they are, or they're defying the mask mandates as well. And they're standing up for freedom in Canada. So absolutely fantastic. Now, there's a French microbiologist who says the COVID is an engineered virus. This is a very, it's not a long clip. It's very interesting showing that there is HIV. So hopefully I can read this if it's subtitled, right? So you need to read real fast. I'll see if, can you make sure my sound's on and I'll kind of try to read it. Okay, everybody. There was a model of it coming from the bat, but we see that coronavirus has RNA from the HIV. Who added the HIV, this guy asked? I don't know, he says. Is it natural?
No,
no, it is the work of a professional molecular biologist.
Biologiste moléculaire. C'est un travail très
it's a very meticulous job, on peut dire d'horloger, on peut dire au niveau des séquences.
Et dans quel but, dans quel
for
but, ça, ce n'est pas, pas clair.
Moi, je l'expose, si vous voulez.
Mon travail, c'est d'exposer les faits, je n'accuse personne, je ne sais pas qui a fait ça et pourquoi. La possibilité, c'est peut-être qu'ils ont voulu faire, on a voulu faire un vaccin contre le sida. Donc on a pris des petites séquences du virus et on les a installées dans la séquence plus grande du coronavirus.
Alors je suis pas sûr de comprendre tout ce que vous dites. C'est-à-dire que dans ce virus, il y a une part de VIH.
Voilà, c'est ça. Le matériel génétique du virus est un long ruban d'ARN, comme de l'ADN, mais c'est de l'ARN. Et dans ce long ruban, à une certaine place, on a fixé des séquences petites de VIH. Mais ces séquences petites ne sont pas petites pour ne rien vouloir dire. Elles ont la possibilité de modifier, par exemple, ce qu'on appelle des sites antigéniques. C'est-à-dire, si on veut faire un vaccin, on peut très bien modifier la protéine qui est exposée pour le vaccin par une petite séquence venant d'un autre virus.
Et vous êtes certain de ça parce qu'on a dit que oui, il a couru que c'était une origine humaine finalement, et ça a été ensuite réfuté par la plupart des autorités scientifiques quand même.
Il y a quand même une volonté d'étouffement. Si vous voulez, les travaux, nous ne sommes pas les premiers. Un groupe de chercheurs indiens très renommés avait publié la même chose. On les aura forcés à rétracter.
So I do remember them talking about this back in the early days when they were trying to sequence out what was in the coronavirus and like, oh, HIV, how would that happen? Oh, I don't know, Dr. Anthony Fauci, you know, and his craziness. You can't believe a word Dr. Anthony Fauci says. And let's take a look at Rand Paul and what is coming out about the latest exposure of the lies of Dr. Anthony Fauci. This man has no end to his lies. He is a classic, I believe, a complete sociopath, and he doesn't seem to care about the world's population and what coronavirus has done and how to stop it. He doesn't care about putting forward good information. Nothing but lies from this guy. So what does Rand Paul
say? Senator, we knew from the emails that he was first warned that it looked like human manipulation of one of the genomes in the January 31st, 2020 note to Dr. Fauci. We also saw the feverishly written emails back and forth, worried that, in fact, NIH money supported this, not only lab, but gain of function, correct?
Yeah, when Dr. Fauci first heard about this on January 31st, the emails were being exchanged all through the night, and I think he was truly worried that this came from the lab. That's when the cover-up began. Immediately the next day, all of a sudden, four or five virologists were saying, it looks like gain of function, it looks like it came out of the lab, and then all of a sudden the next morning things are changing. Most of the rest of the emails have been redacted, so we haven't gotten the full discussion of how he convinced them to change their position. But you have to realize realize this is the same Dr. Fauci who in 2012 said that even if a pandemic occurred, the research was worth it. He has always been an advocate of gain-of-function research, and he said even if it were to leak from a lab, infect a scientist, and cause a pandemic. So I find that hard to believe that we still would have someone with such poor judgment who believes that even a pandemic would be worth it, that that person is in charge of research for our government. I find it astounding.
If I were to lie to Congress, I'm pretty sure and pretty certain that I'd be charged with a crime. You've been saying that your belief is, under oath, that Dr. Anthony Fauci lied to Congress. Last time I checked, that's against the law, isn't it, Senator?
It's a felony punishable by 5 years in jail. We've referred it to the Department of Justice. I don't think Biden's Department of Justice will do anything with it. But yes, it is very dangerous to have public officials who we need to have trust in coming and lying to us. But he has lied dozens of times. Usually he tells us that it's for our own good. But yes, he has dissembled, he has obfuscated, there's other nicer words, but he has definitely lied to the American public, and he should be held responsible. But not just that, the judgment that we should continue to fund this lab and that the virus in all likelihood came from the lab, I think is such incredibly poor judgment that he should be immediately removed.
He should be immediately removed, but have you noticed that judgment and justice is a little bit protracted right now? We're not seeing it, you know, being put forward in our courts. And Dr. Anthony Fauci will have his day. May God bring justice at the exact right time for this evil that has continued to befall our entire globe because of the things that Dr. Anthony Fauci has done. Meanwhile, here in BC, before I leave you today, BC is announcing the new COVID-19 vaccine requirement required for a wide range of public activities. So here we go. This is it. This is what we're going to be dealing with. BC has gone full bore communist and basically treating a certain part of the population as if they should be, you know, maybe wearing a yellow star or something like that. So you can get the BC card, they tell you how to do it, and it's required for places, you know, like your indoor ticketed sporting events and for pubs, bars, lounges, indoor and patio. Oh, patio dining, we don't even get the patios anymore. Nightclubs, casinos, movie theaters, well, you can keep all of it. Yeah, you can keep all of it. Now, if you go down a little bit lower, you are not required this proof of vaccination for worship services, if you see that over on the right there. Okay, so if we see any of you worship services demanding and wanting all of that, I will have an interview up later this afternoon maybe this evening up where I did an interview with Pastor Renee McIntyre, and we talk about this. We talk about the churches now asking the government, to mandate the vaccine passport for worship, houses of worship. Does it get any crazier? I don't know if it does. I don't get what some people are thinking or doing. And we've got all kinds of churches falling and bowing to an agenda that is causing harm. I'm shocked. I don't know about you. So we're going to put up Pastor Renee McIntyre's interview in a bit. It's going to run very shortly. I want to read something to you so I can just get all of this. Ugh. Wow. Thanks for all of you who support this program. Thank you for going to my website at lauralyn.tv and signing on. Many of you are monthly partners now, and you're willing to just give us a certain sum. That is so helpful. For you one-time donors, it's amazing. If you can email me at lauralynlive@protonmail.com if you'd like to send an e-transfer. You can also do lauralynlive@gmail.com. We appreciate you. We stand for the truth here. One thing you can know is that I might get it wrong once in a while, but it won't be intentional, and I'll let you know when I do. Like, I felt badly about that little clip that we shared yesterday that showed the child being taken. I had gotten that information from a source, and I felt, you know, just something in my spirit about it, and I didn't listen. And whenever I don't listen, do you know what I mean? If you don't listen to that. But today, if you didn't catch it, over on Odyssey or DLive, and it'll be up on BitChute, right, JT? On BitChute, and that's not a swear word. That's actually just a place you can watch videos. We air the entire interview with Rabbi Daniel Asor from Israel, where he tells us the truth of what's going on there. And he was able to discern that that video was not really saying that it was had nothing to do with them being unvaccinated parents. So I just apologize to you for anything that ever goes out that's not true. I will always share that with you. I want to leave you with Psalms 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies. Amen. To silence the foe and the avenger, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? You ever wonder that? Why do you care about mankind? Who are they that you care about them, God? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Do you know what matters right now? Worship. Worship. We know who our God is. I got some consolation from the Lord today. I spent some time with him this morning. And he said, Whirlin, whatever judgment comes to Canada or to the world, because judgment will begin in the house of the Lord, and if there's any judgment, just remember, it's going to be easy on the righteous. He's going to uphold the righteous. So are you a righteous person? And I bet you are, if you're watching. I bet you are. And some of you atheists, you're on your way to being righteous. I know that. But if your hope and your trust is in him, this is going to be a breeze. Everything that happens in the fire will burn off the shackles, and you'll be freer than you've ever been. God's got this. It's going to be easy on us. It's going to be tough on evil. Amen. I love being here with you. Thank you for being here with me. I'll see you tomorrow. You know, it's not easy to deliver the truth of what our sick world is doing, but for some of us, we feel that we have no choice. Because if we are silent about these abominable things, then we are letting evil go unchecked, and we cannot do that. For those of you wonderful people who are writing me and are sharing your encouragement, I am deeply grateful. Thank you for all the letters that you've been sending. Thank you for the donations and the support. I found out that in order to speak the truth, you have to become very, very strong. If you would go to my website at www.lauralyn.tv, you'll find all of the ways that you can contact me. Remember, my friends, all is well. All is well. Thanks for joining me.